Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome to Advent. The candles are lit. The glow is beautiful. We're getting closer to the Christ child as we walk another step closer to his stable and the reality of God made flesh, born for you and for me. Isn't that incredible? Welcome to episode number 81 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. We are officially now in the month of December, moving right through another month already. And on the program today, of course, we're going to do our best to just stop in the midst of the busyness and the blur, and just in our time of schedules and routines, really rest for a minute so we can regroup with the vision we need to see clearly and put our holy habits on. We're also going to talk a little bit about boys singing in church. I brought that up on the last show, or not singing, actually, as it were. I got some great feedback from you. Turns out I may not be the only mom out there with sons who don't sing. I know a lot of your kids do. What's up with that for the ones that don't, though? We're going to dive into that a little bit and some creative ways. I think at least a couple of these that maybe you've never tried before to help bring the Christmas season alive. Father Nathan Cromley is back. He's going to talk a little bit about spiritual direction. What is it exactly? Because we talk about it a lot. And really, at our Arise meeting, when we all had the meeting of the minds, one of the questions that came up was, what exactly is spiritual direction when you break it down, though? And it's a great question. We meet with a priest, but what do we talk about? Is it kind of like therapy? Is it just about prayer or life issues? And how is it different than confession? So our resident Yoda, our holy, humble priest friend, is going to shed some light on that with a Padre in your pocket. And if I'm being honest, if I'm keeping things real on the show, I also need to tell you about something pretty unexpected that just unfolded in our life this week. Some of you may already have heard about it. Some of you have reached out about it, and I thank you for that. It's a tragedy. I'm just going to be frank. And in all the ways that I plan and prepare for the show and want to paint this picture of joy and holiness, it's also real life as well. So I'm going to tell you what happened and how our family's doing in the midst of it. And the book, we're going to talk about that as well. So as we get started, let's begin with prayer. This is from Creighton University, which if you haven't checked it out, it is a tremendous resource when it comes to edifying, Advent enrichment, also Lent, and just general prayers as well. This specifically, though, is a prayer about shopping during Advent. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, as I look at my gift shopping list, I hold up to you each person listed on it, slowly, one by one. I ask that the fire of your abundant love burn within them. That, after all, is the greatest gift. I pray that the gift I find for each person will bring joy into their life. But help me, Lord, to keep a balance this season. Keep my buying in perspective, not to spend more than I need or can afford. Let me not give in to the pressures of this world and not equate love with spending money. Let me always remember the many, many people who have so much less in material things. Help me to buy wisely so that my choices will not burden those in other countries who are so deeply affected by this country's economy. And finally, loving God, help me find time in the frantic moments of each day to become centered on you. Walking through a store, riding the bus, hurrying down a street, let each of these times be moments when I can remember your incredible love for me and rejoice in it. Amen.
It's Brooks
House.
It's Brooks
House.
All right, welcome to the house again. Come on in. We're still working through some of the germs and sickness that we've had hit our house lately. The carpet really needs cleaned. Our dog, whom, by the way, is the best dog I've ever owned. He's a German Shepherd, and he is the best. He is the most awesome, except when he takes wood from the fireplace and pulls it out and chews on it on our light beige carpet, which was the case. So we need to get our carpet clean. Don't mind that. Today, though, not so much about what's happening in Brooke's house, but that of our neighbors who live just a few hundred feet away. It's such a hard thing to talk about. It's a surreal thing to even discuss in the present tense. But what happened earlier this week in our life, in our family and neighborhood, was that our dear neighbors, Shen and Dave, who welcomed us to the neighborhood, who so tenderly visit with Carolina, talk to the kids. So it's just the two of them. Dave owning a farm supply business. Shen has grown children. They're married, but in the house is just the two of them. And just salt of the earth, beautiful people. And what I had no idea, no one knew, how could you know, is that when I, on Thursday, was waiting at the end of our driveway for the bus with my daughter Carolina, just a couple hundred feet across the street, these two beautiful people were in their last moments of life. I don't know how else to say it, and to even speak those words is just really jarring still. They died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and I'm trying to even still piece the timeline together. They woke up, and every morning Shen goes swimming. They are blessed to have an indoor pool, and it's at the end of their driveway, which really is close to our driveway. And that morning, she and her husband Dave went into the pool to swim, didn't come out. The heater unit of that pool had a very high, obviously toxic, lethal level of carbon monoxide poisoning, and they were found deceased. And so it's traumatic. And the way that I found out is a whole other thing to process. My son had something called the feast. It's the holiday feast at his preschool. Normally, I'm home every day. I work from home. I do the podcast from home. I clean. I write my book. You name it. Everything takes place there at the house. But I left that day for just a few hours to go to his feast. So I left about 10:15. The call to the fire department came in from that house at 10:25. So Dave's father, Doyle, became suspicious when he didn't show up for work that day. Came to the house, went, discovered obviously an unimaginable scene, and then called the police. And I keep thinking in my mind, did I pass him going out? Was he there when I was leaving? And by the time I came back 2 hours later, my entire little, small, sleepy, simple cul-de-sac street was filled with police officers and with news media crews. There was the heating and cooling person. I had no idea what was going on other than when I turned the corner. I mean, the first thought was there are only 6 homes on our entire street where we live, where the cul-de-sac is. And so obviously my first thought was, oh dear God, is it my house? Is it my family? I knew that my family was at school or work. The house wasn't on fire. But when I stopped and I spoke to the officer, he said, we have a couple of deceased people down there. And it was right across from our house, basically, where everything was and centered. And from that point on, the day unfolded in just an absolute nightmare fashion, trying to figure out what I was going to tell my children, trying to piece together the timeline of the day. Again, is there something that I should have done? Are we in danger? Should we get carbon monoxide? All of these things that when something happens, I think humanly, you just try to process, you grieve, you reconcile things in your mind. I don't know that I've ever had a loss of life. I mean, my dad was there and I was in the room when he passed away, but someone so close in proximity. And that night, their Christmas lights automatically go on. So that was just surreal and sad. And telling my children, and I want to tell you now, it's hard to just say this in a matter-of-fact kind of way, and especially bizarre in now covering news. I've covered news for a lot of years. That's all I do in my part-time job. And to be then all of a sudden part of a news story where there were reporters and they were asking me questions just felt so disturbing and odd. And then having to tell the children. And so I want to read what I shared with them in a way that, as we gathered around the Advent wreath that night, in some ways I was stunned at how providential it fit into what we had discussed. It was Father Edward Hayes, my go-to, my inspiration, my spiritual mentor in many ways. And I just grabbed my Prayers for the Domestic Church book off the shelf. I knew that there was a chapter, a section about death, and wanted to read that. And although it is a time of Advent, a time where we celebrate the coming of new life, we know that it's all mixed in together. Death, birth, new life, and resurrection. And I want to read what I shared with the boys here with you. Father Edward Hayes writes, many years ago, before the age of instant global communications, the news of death that reached the home was limited. The family learned only of a death of a family member, a neighbor, a member of the parish, or certain occasions the death of some famous person. Today, though, the family hears the news of death as it comes upon persons all over our earth. The daily newspaper or television report brings into the home knowledge of such tragedies as the death of minors in West Virginia or hundreds in an airline crash. War, famine, police shootouts, highway accidents make death as common as the weather. In almost all of these cases, we do not know the people who have died. Nameless to us, their deaths don't deeply touch our lives. Certainly, the news of death has an effect upon us, but we seem to be numbed by the constant news of death on a global scale. We suffer from an overexposure of the message that death has visited our world. As a result, the announcement of death often calls forth little emotion from us. Psychologically, we cannot be involved on such a worldwide scale, and so our impersonal reaction to the news of death received through the media is understandable. When a neighbor or fellow coworker dies, the danger is that our response will be conditioned by this overexposure. The danger is that we will respond to the news with a reflex-like comment of regret and then move on with the normal business of daily life. How can we respond to the often repeated news of death? One clue lies in the fact that the message of death always comes wrapped in fear. This dark death notice reminds us that one day each of us shall also die. But such a dark message can be good and wholesome. The news that someone we know has died has the power to call forth from us a renewed dedication to live full and holy lives. Our response that we all can make, perhaps the first most important and most sustained response, is prayer. When death comes knocking at our door, touching our lives personally, it is always a sacred time and an occasion for the family to come together in prayer. I have to tell you, that gave me chills, because here we were. And to, when you're talking about neighbors, physically use the symbol as knocking at the door, it really was powerful. And that word fear, yes, it was wrapped up. And I told the kids, I said, death knocked on their door. It could knock on our door any day, because we are not promised tomorrow. And Scripture tells us to be ready, to forgive, to have mercy, to be holy, to shine light. And that's what we did. We wrapped ourselves as a family in prayer in the home. And I love that he touched on that. He goes on to say, part of the fear of death is our fear of being forgotten. We fear that in death, we will slip from the memory of those with whom we've shared life. And it concludes with talking about that the best gift that we can give is not a memory made of stone, but a living memory that is nourished by prayer and gratitude and deepening affection. And in this time where something unexpected comes up, to honor those we love by honoring the gift of life and the sacrament of the present moment. And so that's a little bit of a peek into our home and what we've experienced this past week. I could absolutely go on and share all the emotions. The night before, waving to my neighbor, smiling at her as she was coming in, we were going out, and then in the course of 24 hours, talking about her on the news in past tense. And I always think about death. It sounds morbid and macabre, but it's truly a teacher of my life. And so it's always on my mind. And I think as you widen your prayer circle, you're always hearing about people who are diagnosed with an illness, people who are in hospice or suddenly died, and cause us to stop and gather at the foot of the cross. So if you could just remember to keep their family in your prayers, I would be grateful.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
Hello, Brooke. It's Vicky Vax bringing some feedback about episode 80. First of all, with the antique malls, yeah, I'm there. I am a newly converted antique mall shopper, so you name the day and the time, and I'll be there. Also, that's awesome that you had a home mass. I've never considered that option. I've had priests out to do mass with my Girl Scout troop, but never at home. So I'm going to have to look into that. And with boys singing in church, yes, my 12-year-old has had some fears and trepidations about singing in church as of late. But we've talked about it, and I've explained to him that singing is really praying twice. So he's back to singing. And also with a Padre in Your Pocket segment, thank you, Father Nathan. You are such a gift and such a blessing to us especially in this Advent season. And lastly, with the gifts, what we like to do with our kids is either do something that involves the zoo or a museum or a magazine, so that they're getting something that lasts the entire year instead of just one brief moment. So that is my feedback for episode 80, and continue doing the good work that you do. God bless.
Yes to the antique shop girl shopping day. Vicky, thank you for your feedback too about the home mass, the singing, the gifts. I love it on the gifts too. Thank you so much, ma'am. Also an email from Melissa, and she writes this. She said, do my boy sing in mass? My six-year-old always. He has an ear for music and has always hummed or sang along anytime, any place. He really sings out at mass, but he's a showboat. My fourth grader likes to sing Justin Bieber in the car, but kind of sings at mass and not very loud. He is my introvert. I'm just glad he takes out the hymnal and not be bossy with his brother for a moment. Have a great week. I am praying for you and your family. Thank you so much, dear Melissa. As I examine it, I think part of it is vulnerability, and kids, especially each at a different age, and maybe boys, it's a pride thing, are a little bit worried about being vulnerable. Maybe if they don't love their singing voice, whatever the case might be, but thank you for letting me know that I'm not alone. Thank you for all of your feedback about that. If you want to leave a message, just go to Voxer. If you haven't sent that, that is the best way, my favorite way to hear from you. It's just Brooke Taylor and the number one. That's my name on Voxer. You can track me down there. Father Nathan and I, we Voxer all the time. In fact, he has a new Padre in Your Pocket, and it's all about spiritual direction. What is it exactly? How does it work? He's here with another Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre in Your Pocket. On good things, great deal.
Hello, ladies. This is Father Nathan here with another Padre in Your Pocket. Today's topic is spiritual direction, and it is one of the most popular things out there. People want to know about this so much, and I think it's kind of cool because it shows that the interest in spiritual direction shows that we as Catholics are starting to go deeper into our faith, because you start off by just going to the church and going to the Mass and trying to get something out of it, and that's fine. But what spiritual direction is a chance for you to kind of allow yourself to enter into a dialogue with another about how to take that Mass and the sacraments and make them a really integral part of everything that you are as a Catholic. And so it's a lot deeper. The thing about it is that it's a field that's extremely vast. It's as old as the gospel itself, and it has a whole history and many different theories behind it. I want to just make a fundamental distinction that I think will help most of you. That is, there's a difference between, well, confession, spiritual counseling, and spiritual direction. Confession consists in you confessing your sins and receiving God's mercy and the advice of the priest with respect to your fight against sins in the specificity of the confessional. A confession can never be repeated, and it can't be remembered by the priest afterwards. So it's a one-time shot, and you can receive counsel and confession about those sins. So that's a very valuable, wonderful thing. It's confession. If you have a regular confessor that you go to, that's wonderful because he can get to know you, and he can therefore help you to open up and help you in your fight against sin. The second type of person is a spiritual counselor. In this situation, you're looking for someone to help you with a specific situation or with a problem that you're having. So when you're seeking spiritual counsel, you go to that person and you say, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, and they give you advice. So think of, instead of counselor, think of it as advice giver. And this type of person is often a priest, most often a priest, but it can also be a sister, it can even be a layman, someone that you go to guide you on your pathway, your walk with Jesus, but by asking you for advice. So this is where you come in with a situation that you're struggling with, and he gives you advice on it. Very useful, especially if you're going through a divorce, a grief period, a difficulty in your family. Spiritual director, per se, is another term. And a spiritual director is almost always a priest, but it's someone who's like a spiritual master. In other words, this is someone that whose spirit, as they live for God, you find very much akin to your own, being around them, being under them, being near them, watching them. It makes you come alive in your faith. And this type of relationship, to ask him to be your director, is more encompassing and it's deeper than spiritual counsel and confession, even though most often it combines them. But a spiritual director is it's a real gift from God. St. Teresa of Jesus said it's one priest in 1,000. And if you think of it, it's not everyone that has a director. But I think everyone needs to be able to ask priests for counsel. That's no doubt. But directors are a real gift. And it's just someone that you feel as if you can really confide in and open up to, but whose very life gives you a perspective beyond their counsel. So when you go to see your director, it's deeper than just asking about this or that situation. You're almost asking about the walk that you have in your soul with respect to Christ, because you sense that there's something in him that knows and understands that walk. And so those three distinctions can help you understand. Now, what do? I think that you listen to the calls of the Holy Spirit. Most people, everybody needs to go to confession. Most people need to ask priests for counsel, and having one that you really know is terrific. Going into the point of spiritual direction, I think, is a gift, and you know it if you have it. And if you have a desire for it, then you ask God to give you a director. But regardless of any of those three, all of you should not hesitate to bring priests close to your family. Have them over for dinner. Have them be a part of your joys and sorrows. Because what an asset it is that no matter what happens 25 years down the line, you know you could always call Father Frank or Father Bill, because you had that relationship with them at one point in your journey. And I think that is necessary. Everybody should know and love at least one priest, because when you go through life, it's great to have someone who knows you and has your back. Be happy to answer more questions. Don't hesitate to ask Brooke. If you have specific questions about spiritual direction, she'll pass them on to me, and maybe we'll continue with this episode another time. God bless you, ladies.
Okay, good. Mystery solved. So you've got the counseling aspect, the spiritual aspect, the reconciliation aspect, all of the above a priest can do. Isn't that a tremendous, amazing thing to know the power of one priest? So mystery solved. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father Nathan Cromley. Good to know. And he will be there for all of the above at the Arise Retreat. We hope that you're going to go. Even if you're not, I just thank you for the ways that you've supported, that you've listened, that you've been a cheerleader along the way for those that will be making this little pilgrimage, this retreat in April on the weekend of Divine Mercy. We have about 10 tickets left. You can get the link, all the information on the show notes, but thank you to all of you who are praying and preparing for this beautiful weekend away with Father Nathan, with all of the speakers, and with our Heavenly Father in the desert on Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. And last but not least, some creative ideas to help you get the most out of Advent, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, how old your kids are. I got this on Ministry for Children. I think that's the name of the website. And I really like their stuff. Some of it is for younger kids, like Sunday school age. Some of it's just across the board going to be good slam dunk anytime. One of the creative tips that I like was they said, interview an expecting mother. Isn't that cute? I don't know anybody right now. Well, wait, I do, actually. It's just she hasn't spilled the beans yet. Interviewed expecting mother. So if you know someone pregnant, it says Mary made the trek to Bethlehem while great with child. Have a pregnant woman late in her pregnancy talk to your children about what that would be like. Imagine the discomfort. And kids, I think, with pregnant women and, you know, anybody, it is such a beautiful mystery to see that belly and wonder about the life that's inside. Anyone who's been pregnant over Christmas, it's just such a magical blessing. So I love that idea. If it's not too weird, if you know someone or maybe you yourself, what a great idea to be able to do that. So that's number one. Visit a farm and meet some animals. That's number two. See, now really, theoretically, it doesn't matter the age. You could do this any age. I mean, teenagers, they might roll their eyes or scoff a little bit, but it's still fun. It says, imagine the animals praising God for baby Jesus. Can you hear the loud moos, neighs, ee-aws? You know the Friendly Beast song, right? Well, it says, sing a version of Old MacDonald. No. It says sing a version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm, but I disagree. Sing the Friendly Beast. That's a great song. So that's there. Take your children out for stargazing. I love that tip. Be like the wise men. following the star in the night sky. Have them play an imaginary connect the dots game. Imagine following a star for directions instead of following a map or a GPS. Now again, that's one if you've got little kids, they'll do that. I know my 15-year-old would be like, I'm not connecting the dots, mother, in his very deep man voice now. And so you can make it what you'd like. We do, as I've talked about the last couple Advent podcasts, the nativity walk. It is one of our favorite things to do. Okay, one of my favorite things, but I feel over the years, even if the kids have been resistant, they count on it now. It is a tradition. We take a lantern. We got an old lantern from Amish country, and we go out. If it's snowing, that's even better, but lately it hasn't been snowing here. If it's cold, that's okay too. We don't get exposed to the elements that much anymore. We're so landlocked that even when we go to the garage half the time, if it's an attached garage, you're not even feeling the elements. So it's actually an opportunity, I think, to really enter into the spirit of the season. We bundle up, we take that lantern, we go for a walk in the night, and really, even if it's 5 o'clock, it's dark, so you don't have to wait that long. With the stars out, with the conversation of the Luke narrative, being able to go and talk about that journey. What do you think they packed? Was it just a simple piece of unleavened bread? What happened when a census would take place at the time? Was Mary on a donkey? All of these questions, because of course we have tradition, but then there's just a lot of things that we don't know that we can kind of have a private revelation with our family and talk about. So that's one tip. And then finally, create your own choir of praise as the angels did. Give your child suggestions of songs. Sing praises as a family. We love Christmas carolers. Do your own family Christmas carol time when you're in the house. Once again, something that would probably be a total dud if I'm being honest in my house because my boys don't sing, but it still is a beautiful idea. If you've got a piano player, any musical people that play or sing, what a gift that would be. I love watching Little House on the Prairie and the beautiful music that they made without the use of TV or devices, all of that removed and just together as a unit. It just seems so dreamy and beautiful. And the big part of the season, of course, too, is giving. And that is really, I think, sky's the limit, from being able to stock a fishing pond with food for the poor or Samaritan's purse, go to a nursing home and use your gifts there to sing, ring the bell, sign up for Salvation Army. It really is endless. And finally, I just have a quick PS note about the book, this baby now that is being ready to be birthed, at least to the editor. And then the editor will take it, nurse it, hopefully grow it a little bit until it's ready to be presented to the world, which won't be for a long time in my understanding. And I really don't know what to expect, but I wanted to tell you that the date has arrived for me to submit my manuscript, and miraculously, amazingly, it's ready. I don't know what's going to happen after I hand it off. I have no idea. So it could be kicked back and they could say, we don't want it after all. But I just am so grateful and thankful to get to this point. And what I said in my Facebook post over the weekend was, I feel like a little miner down in the earth, hammering away as the Lord uncovers these pieces of gold and diamonds that I never knew were there. But I really had to work hard. I had to go deep in order to see them. But they were waiting there. And so if no other soul reads the words, what a gift it was to have that journey, to travel with the Lord in the way that He showed me, revealed this treasure chest of wisdom that was there all along. I just had to drill down, to dig and hammer away and receive those jewels. And I really truly mean that, because it's not a writing from me as if I created all these things, but from the hand of God, who always takes us back to Scripture, who always brings us to His mother and allows us to translate the words into our heart in a language that we can understand, hopefully live out, and then be transformed by. And that's what the book is about. It's all about praise. The 1 Thessalonians 5 through 18 scripture: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it's about giving praise in times of challenge and weariness and frustration and death and driving in the car and mundane things to mountaintop things. So I just thank you again for your support. I praise God for the gift of getting to this point. And I'm grateful for your patience and your grace in all the many times that I've lamented and talked about this. Finally, it is finished, at least this leg of the journey. So I'll keep you posted, but just thank you for being there. And the next episode, I have a tremendous curveball. Now that that's done, I've been pulled in a completely different direction that I never expected. It's a new hobby that I've taken on, and I can't get enough of it. And I honestly can't even trace where or how I began to have this new spark or interest. And some of you are going to hear this interest and be like, wow, that's fantastic. Other people are you going to hear this interest and think, I don't know if I'm going to be able to relate to you anymore, because it's a bit of a controversial interest, but it's one that I'm excited. I'm really getting passionate about, and I want to share it with you as well. So that's coming up on the next episode of Good Things Radio. God bless you as you journey another step closer into the path of Advent and the star that guides us all. May God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. You can find out more about him, his dynamic skills and quick work, as he always puts the podcast together for you at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you, thank you. As the end of the year draws near, my heart is so full. Every episode, I am grateful and appreciative to each and every precious podcast, Podbean patron, our good friends of Good Things Radio. If you go to podbean.com, that's where the show is hosted. You can sign up to be a good friend. Just click on the crowdfunding campaign. You can donate $1 a month, $10, $20 a month. That keeps our show going and growing. God bless you. What a gift you are all year long. And our family's prayers are with you. Until next time, friends, may the God of life illuminate your days, give you hope, strength, and peace. Amen.